What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 342. In this episode, I'll discuss three drug interactions every critical care pharmacist should know how to manage: linezolid and fentanyl, metoclopramide and olanzapine, and levofloxacin and sotalol. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode342. First, linezolid and fentanyl, which is a concern about serotonin syndrome. Many clinical decision support systems list linezolid and fentanyl as a contraindicated combination due to the risk of serotonin syndrome. Linezolid has been implicated as a cause of serotonin syndrome by itself or in combination with other serotonergic agents. Case reports I've reviewed of serotonin syndrome from linezolid suggest the interaction is usually mild and resolves quickly. Synthetic opioids such as fentanyl and meperidine have serotonergic activity. These synthetic opioids are of the same structural class as the SSRI paroxetine. While fentanyl has been reported to cause serotonin syndrome, the incidence is likely minuscule. One review found that 4 out of 4,538 patients who received fentanyl and another serotonergic agent developed serotonin syndrome. No case reports in PubMed describe serotonin syndrome resulting from linezolid and fentanyl together. In 2013, a case report of serotonin syndrome from 3 serotonergic agents was published. If both linezolid and fentanyl are needed, and alternative medications are not equally safe and effective, I do not consider the combination a contraindication. I'm comfortable with this decision for the following reasons. Linezolid and fentanyl together, as the only serotonergic agents, have not been reported to cause serotonin syndrome. Nearly all cases of serotonin syndrome with linezolid appear mild or reversible. And the intense monitoring that critically ill patients received with a 1-to-2 nurse-to-patient ratio allow for rapid detection and treatment of serotonin syndrome should it occur. If the combination is used, I advise the nurse and the physician to monitor for signs of tremor, myoclonus, hyperthermia, rigidity, hyperreflexia, incoordination, confusion, or coma. When there's a third serotonergic medication involved, I'm much more hesitant to then use linezolid. My tolerance for risk for the linezolid-fentanyl interaction often changes outside of critical care settings. Monitoring is less intense with a higher nurse-to-patient ratio. Additionally, alternatives to either medication are much easier to find outside of the ICU. Next, metoclopramide and olanzapine, which has the potential for neuroleptic malignant syndrome. I consider this combination an absolute contraindication. Metoclopramide blocks dopamine, and so does olanzapine and other typical and atypical antipsychotics. This combination results in an increased risk of extrapyramidal symptoms, tardive dyskinesia, movement disorders, and neuroleptic malignant syndrome. If metoclopramide is being used for nausea, I'll replace it with ondansetron. If metoclopramide is being used for promotility, I'll replace it with erythro or azithromycin. If metoclopramide must be used, then the olanzapine must be replaced with a class of medication that does not block dopamine receptors. Depending on the original indication for olanzapine, an antihistamine, benzodiazepine, valproic acid, or dexmedetomidine may be used. And last, levofloxacin and sotalol. The concern here is for torsades. Remember, the QTC, which these medications prolong, is just a number on a piece of paper. The development of torsades is the clinically relevant outcome we're trying to avoid. Just because a drug interaction may prolong the QTC does not mean that the patient will experience torsades. Here's how I evaluate a QTC interaction. First, I determine the risk of the interaction. Sotalol is a medication that can prolong the QTC and cause torsades at therapeutic levels. Levofloxacin is only likely to prolong the QTC at elevated levels. For this combination, I will assess specific risk factors for the patient, then decide whether an alternative drug can be used or if the patient should be monitored. So the patient-specific risk factors for torsades that I look for are both the modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. Modifiable risk factors are hypomagnesemia, hypokalemia, and bradycardia, and non-modifiable risk factors are hypertrophy, heart failure, female gender, advanced age, QTC over 500 milliseconds at baseline, and a history of ventricular arrhythmias. Then, depending on the degree of risk factors involved, I'll switch to an alternative for levofloxacin to manage the interaction. Two things to keep in mind are, one, be risk-averse whenever possible. Take, for example, a patient with no allergies on Sotalol, prescribed levofloxacin for community-acquired pneumonia. As long as the renal function is good, this is a low-risk interaction that I could just monitor. But ceftriaxone plus doxycycline is just as good for CAP and completely avoids the risk of torsades. So why would I take the risk when I have another first-line treatment that doesn't include the torsades risk? Things get murkier when you are having to decide between using a second-line drug or monitoring the interaction. Take the same patient, but give them anaphylaxis to penicillin. Would vancomycin plus aztreonam plus doxycycline provide the best cure for their pneumonia? How do I balance the added risk of toxicity that using vancomycin brings? Sticking with the levofloxacin and monitoring the patient in the hospital might be more reasonable here. This brings me to my second point, which is that EKGs are cheap and non-invasive, and I have no hesitation asking for one if the purpose is to evaluate or monitor a QT drug interaction. Literally, the cost to the hospital is the ink and paper. The machine and technician have already been paid for, and this fixed cost doesn't enter into the equation. You can access my free download area with 19 different resources for hospital pharmacists at pharmacyjoe.com/free. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.